I always enjoy being in my church, and this is still my church. I appreciate all those who keep praying for me. I have enjoyed being in other places and being able to open the Word of God and be able to preach there as well. And some of those churches that I've been preaching in lately are starting to move forward. Some of them who did not have a pastor have gotten some people in place now, so I don't have to quite be there as often as I was, but I enjoy it. I love preaching. God called me to preach, and I am destined, really, to preach God's Word. So, let's ask a question. I didn't turn it on. Now?
I'm on. All right. It's the other way. It's been a long time since I handled these things. I asked Noelle this morning, I said, which way is mute? And she said, when it's on, mute it's on, or vice versa. We always get that confused because this is the most confusing microphone I've ever seen. It says mute and on, and you're going, well, is it on mute or is it on? So we were getting confused about that. Anyway, let's get right to where we need to be this morning. I hope you do continue to pray for your pastor. He is going to be on vacation, I guess one more week, isn't he, Matt, through this week? And so be continuing to pray for him. I know he's got a lot of things done that he wanted to get done, a lot of work that he wanted to get done, completed, and or at least started. Whether he completed with it, I don't know. We're going to look at a section of Scripture this morning, and it deals with faith. Now, how many of you know what faith is? Yeah. It's kind of hard to put your finger on it, isn't it? The Bible gives us a definition of it. It's a definition, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can do that, but you even look at that definition, you go, I still don't understand. I don't understand. So, last night, while I was studying, I found something. We've got an app. It's a faith meter. Now, what you do is you download this app and you put it on your smartphone and you take a selfie of yourself. And when you take a selfie, it comes up with a meter that will tell you how much faith you actually have. So I decided I'd try it out myself. But I found out it can be manipulated. Is it the tie? I found out it can be manipulated. Because I took a selfie of myself when I was in the hospital last week, too. And it looks like it went. So I don't know. I'm not exactly sure whether that's a true picture or not. But what is faith? Faith is something that we can take to our heart and know that it's true. All right? Faith is something that we can take to our heart and know that it's true. We take the Word of God by faith. We just simply open it up and we read it and we say, it's true. I can't prove any of it's true, but by faith, I believe it. And as we look at a story, or actually it's not a story, it is an account. I'm trying to get away from that word story. Every time I open the Bible, I don't want somebody to think I'm telling them a story out of the Bible. This is an account that Jesus had. And if you go to Mark chapter 5, we're actually going to look at a section of Scripture that is two different accounts happening at the same time. And as we look at these two accounts, we'll think that they're two totally different things that are going on, but they're actually working together for a true understanding of faith. So if you look in Mark chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 21. And the Bible says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about, in the press, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude bringing thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you now for an opportunity we get to be here in your house this morning, that we can open up your word and that we can just, Lord, we can just learn so much about what's going on in our own lives through the lives of the people you've used as examples in your word. Now, God, I pray that you would help us to come to grips with the things that are going on in our own lives, that we might be able to lay them in your hands as well. Now, Lord, I ask that you would bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing that we want to see about this lady, because we see there's a story going on inside of it, but we want to look at the inner part of this account first. And as we see this lady, she has come to a point in her life where she doesn't know what else to do. See, she now has a growing faith. She has come to a point where the doctors can no longer help her. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the doctors weren't only not helping, they were making things worse. Now, you think and you say, well, that's because biblical medicine, and you know, they didn't know, all they were using were leeches and toad frogs and stuff like that. But actually, medicine had gotten pretty modern by this time. Now, they weren't doing brain surgery or anything like that, but there were doctors who had experimented. They had experimented with head injuries, understanding that to relieve the pressure inside of the brain, they needed to drill a hole in the brain. Well, they still, I mean, in the this thing, your head. Well, they still do that today with when the brain starts to swell. They have to get the pressure off of it, get the fluid out of it, and they understood that. Well, now, you know, the rate of survival wasn't quite as high as it is now, I'm sure. But at the same time, there was some new modern medicines going on. As a matter of fact, there was one who had started kind of a medical school. He was a Greek. You might recognize his name, Hippocrates. He actually had come up with some, he had found some tree bark that was in an area, and he said, you know what? When I grind this up and I give it to my patients, they feel better. Well, you know what he had found? He'd found aspirin. And so he understood we had a little bit of the medicine things that were going on here. It wasn't all about just trial and error, but we also had a lot of the pagan ideas on medicine. And so imagine this lady. She has had this issue of blood for 12 years. Now, we don't know exactly what the issue was, but the way that it is described here, she had an hemorrhage. She had something that blood was leaking from her body. Now, whether this was a female thing that was going on in her life or just a disease that she had, I didn't know until yesterday when I was doing some reading on it that actually Ebola can cause hemorrhaging. I didn't know that. And so as I was looking, some of you are going, well, stupid, they've been saying it on the news. I don't watch the news. But as I read, there's a lot of diseases out there that actually can cause hemorrhaging from the nose, from the ears, from the mouth. Different places of the body. So I don't know where this lady's issue was, but she had an issue of blood. Now, this made her go and find and seek out every possible way to help. And so she would go to the pagan doctors. She would go to those who were actually knew a little bit about medicine. And she would go and go and go, and every time she went, it didn't get better, it only got worse. And as it got worse and she began to keep going and going, she eventually not only ran out of the research of these medical professionals, but she ran out of the resources to pay for it. Because the Bible says that she spent all that she had. She wanted to be healed. She wanted to find some way to help her out. She needed a physical healing. But she had no more money. She had no more doctors. And she finally realized she really had no more excuses. See, as we read the book of Mark, we understand that as he tells the story of Jesus, he's actually telling it to a lot of people who never saw a lot of the miracles of Jesus that were going on. We see this lady who was kind of in the background of everything that was happening, but likely had never seen with her own eyes any of the miracles that Jesus had done. See, she was not allowed to just be around people. She had that issue of blood that made her unclean. She would not be allowed to go into the synagogue. She would not be allowed to be around people. Matter of fact, if she came in contact with other people, they would be considered unclean, would have to go through a purification process before they could go back into the synagogue. And so we had this thing going on where she just wasn't around people. She didn't see a lot of people. She didn't hear it. But the Bible says that in verse 27 that when she had heard of Jesus. See, she began to hear the things that Jesus was doing. She began to hear the miracles that he was doing. She began to hear that other people were going to Jesus and were being healed. And as her faith began to grow, when she saw that what she was putting in her finances and what she was putting in these doctors' care, and it wasn't helping, she said, I've got to go to Jesus. I've got to figure out a way to get to Jesus. So she began her plan. Jesus had gone in the story, in the account just previous to what we were reading right there. He had gone over to the other side of the lake. He was over there. He had just healed a man who was possessed with demons. And he had left that country and had just got back to the shore. Now, she would have probably began to look and say, all right, where am I going to be able to find him? Somebody said, hey, he's coming back tomorrow. He'll be back in the morning on the beach. And so she began to prepare how she would get there. She was weak. Physically, she probably had a hard time getting around. The more blood you lose, the weaker you get. You know, your body does all it can do to maintain blood, to keep pumping, to keep making it. But she was getting weak physically. So she began to plan her day. How am I going to get there? What am I going to do to get there? How am I going to get around people without touching them? And as she began her way to the shore, she not only had that growing faith, but now she began to have a showing faith. Because, see, she had to, first of all, overcome what her body said. See, her body said, you're weak. You can't do it. You're unclean. You can't be around people. Her mind and her body began to work against her. All the things that she had heard, she said, I've got to get past that. And I've got to make my way to that shoreline. And as she began to make that, she also had to overcome her religious ideas. Because people were saying, you can't. And it was in her mind that she could not get around those people. And surely, she couldn't reach out and touch Jesus. He would be unclean. He would have to go through the spiritual purification process to be able to go into the synagogue. But she said, I've got to get there. I've got to overcome what my body says. I've got to overcome what my religion says. And then she had to overcome what she heard people say. Now, remember, this is inside of another account. We've got a ruler of the synagogue who at the same time said, I've got to get to Jesus. I've got a 12-year-old daughter. Interesting, she had had an issue of blood for 12 years. Jairus has a 12-year-old daughter. And he says, I've got to get to the Master. I've got to get to Him. When He lands on that shore, I need Him to come as quickly as I can to my house with me. Because if He'll just lay His hands on my daughter, she'll live. And so he's a ruler. He is a leader in the synagogue. All the people around probably knew who he was. And he probably, as he began to come up on the press, he said, hey, I need to get to Jesus. And they made way for him. Oh, yeah, sure. Not a problem. Come on up. And as he got there, probably as she was trying to make her way through the press, she may have even heard him say, can you come with me to my house? And Jesus say, yes, I can. Oh, how discouraging that might have been to her. I mean, think of it. She's done everything that she could, and she's made her way to the shore, and she's worked her way around people, and maybe they haven't noticed her even yet, and she's trying to get to where, and she gets just within hearing range to find out that she's probably not going to get close enough because he's leaving. See, she had to overcome what her body said, overcome what her religion said, and overcome what people said. And as she began to think on that, she may have even thought, it's no use. I'll just go home. Now, the Scriptures don't say that. That's something that I'm putting in there because I know how it feels to be all excited about something and to find out that it's just not going to happen. And it's interesting that they said that the people were thronging Jesus. That meant they were pressing against Him from every side. Have you ever been somewhere where somebody famous was going to be? A couple of weeks ago, we went over to the opening ceremonies at the Athens Little League. Now, this is about as famous as we get in Athens, Georgia. Chris Connolly was going to be there to throw that first pitch. Now, those of you who are Georgia fans know who I'm talking about. Those of your other fans, well, you know, maybe you'll find a football team one day. But Chris Connolly was going to be there, and as he was going to throw out the first pitch, we thought that was kind of funny too. Wondered if he'd throw a football instead of a baseball. But he was standing there around, and the crowds began to kind of throng around him. They wanted to have their picture made with him. Everybody wanted to get up close to him. I mean, he's going to be an NFL star one day. And they wanted to get their pictures, and they were all thronging around him. And as I was pushing and carrying on, trying to get in there where I could get my picture made, no, actually, I was pushing for Holly. I got Holly's picture made with him. But I understood what they were talking about, that thronging that was going on. There was a crowd, a lot of people around. And as Jesus began to move through the crowd going to Jairus' house, the crowd began to move with him. And she had to continue to move and to weave in and out of people trying to get there because her mind now was set. See, she had that growing faith that caused her to go. She had that showing faith that made her want to get there, but now she had a knowing faith that was about to change her life. Because she said, if I may but touch His garment, I'll be made whole. See, she didn't want to sit down with Jesus. She didn't want to talk to Jesus. She just wanted to reach out and grab Him. Just to touch the edge of His garment. Now, it's kind of neat that we would think that as people were walking around and there were that many people pressing, that He wouldn't even notice somebody touching His garment. It wasn't like she wanted to pat Him on the back or grab His hand, or she just wanted to touch the edge. And as they began to press around, she said, I just need to touch it. Adrian Rogers says, faith is not believing God can do something. It's knowing God will. And she had that faith that began to come into her mind and encompass her thoughts that if I can get there, I know I'll be healed. And so as she began to reach out, and as she began to work her way through the crowd, she finally got to where she could reach barely and touch the hem of her garment. Oh, and let me tell you, it says that straightway See, Mark was very good about putting that when he would write in there. He wanted you to know that things were happening quickly. Things throughout the book of Mark happened quickly, straightway, forthwith, we went. And as she touched him, it says in verse 29 or 28, for if she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. In 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body she was healed of the plague. See, her faith to reach out and touch had come to a final thing that she had touched, and she was healed. She felt it in her body. Have you ever been sick and maybe running a fever or something like that, and you can just feel that time when it goes away? You know, you've taken the aspirin or the Advil or whatever you tried to take, and you bundled up in the sheets or the blankets and covered up, and finally, all of a sudden, it just goes away. And you go, wow, and throw the covers off everywhere, right? That's kind of what this would have happened. She was, 1 minute she had this issue, and she was weak and felt bad and reached and touched, and the Bible says straightway she felt, she was dried up. She no longer had the issue of blood. And Jesus, even though she just touched the hem, Jesus said, who touched me? It said that he stopped. Now, would you say that Jesus was on an important mission there? I mean, I think he was. He was going to heal a child who was about to die. Think of this man who was walking along with him. They're moving probably at a pretty good pace. We got to get there. My daughter's about to die. And all of a sudden he stopped. I'm sure Jairus was going, I need to go. But he stopped. Because even though this woman who was nobody, and he was walking with this ruler who was somebody, he had time to stop. And as he stopped, it says in verse 30 that he immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about and said, who touched my clothes? Well, the disciples, you know how they are. Are you kidding me? Don't you see all these people around us? Everybody's pressing out. They're touching my clothes too. But he looked round about and he saw her. He put his eyes on her. He fixed his eyes upon her. And she, knowing what had just happened to her, said, fell fearing and trembling at his feet and told him all the truth. He didn't look at her and say, woman, do you realize what you've done? Woman, I'm no longer spiritually clean. Woman, what were you thinking? Daughter, immediately he had taken her in, hadn't he? Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Interesting. He's not talking about her healing right here. Because there's a little conjunction in this sentence here. Because it says, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Two different things. See, he gave her her spiritual healing first. Then her physical healing. It came simultaneously in her body, but he dealt with her first problem first. See, a lot of times we think in ourselves that when we're sick, when we're hurting, that we've got this physical problem that we need, and many times we neglect a spiritual problem that may be going on in our own lives. It's not that we need that physical touch any more than we need that spiritual touch. We know that the outcome of the second account, as he went to Jairus' house and he raised that child from the dead. But she now had a healing that was twofold, physical and spiritual. This touch, this reach out and touch that she was able to accomplish, called spiritual healing in her body. What did it do? It made her clean. Now she was able to go to the synagogue. She was able to be around her family. She was able to do things that she couldn't do. It wasn't just physically that she was now healed. She was able to go back and enjoy her life as it should be. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. See, every one of us are born with an issue in our blood. And it's an issue that's called sin. See, it was passed down from Adam ever since the very beginning when he willingly chose to eat that apple. Don't ever think he was tricked. He willingly chose to eat. And as he ate of the fruit and sin passed into him, it passed down through all generations. It's a blood disease. And each one of us has that, and that sin that was passed down to us that is in our blood, you know what? It's making us weak. See, the devil doesn't want you to know that you're weak. He wants you to think that, hey, that sin makes me strong. That sin gives me power. That sin that I'm hiding within me allows me to be somebody that nobody else can be. But that's a lie. That's a lie. And if you're here this morning, I want you to know that sin problem that's in the blood, let me tell you, that sin problem that's in the blood is going to cause death. See, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. What we get for what we do is death. Oh, but Jesus paid that debt. And all we have to do today is to just reach out and touch Him. All we have to do is to raise our hand and say, Jesus, heal me. All I have to do is say, forgive me of my sin. And you know what he'll say? Daughter, son, go in peace. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, so you may be here this morning and you don't know Jesus, but can I tell you? Hold out your hand. Touch Him. He has a desire to save. The Bible says it's not my will. God says it's not my will that any perish, but that all have everlasting life. Everyone. See, God's design was for us to live forever with Him. Separation is our own design. Let Jesus bring it back together today. Now maybe you're here this morning and you say, oh, Brother Ricky, I'm saved. I've already asked Jesus to be my Savior. I did it a long time ago. Maybe you have a different issue in the blood, but it's still sin. See, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you don't still have some sin there. When we get saved, we don't have to sin, but a lot of times we choose to, just like Adam chose to eat the apple. Can I tell you? If that's your issue, if that's what's in the blood today, can I tell you? If you just reach out and touch Jesus, you can be healed of that too. So if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A cleansing power that no one else can do. That touch still heals. You're not too weak. You're not too religious, okay? I don't care if you've been coming to church all your life. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know Him today. We're going to stand together, have a hymn of invitation. Our pianist and organist will come to the instruments, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please.